All right. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not Pastor Eric. We are giving him some time off while he and Francesca are celebrating their new baby, just like Kevin said. I'm just a guy, so I had to put on my smart glasses today so I could get through this, also to see. We are going through a sermon series, and continuing that, just called If I Could Tell You One Thing. So if I could tell you one thing, I'd say, let's see if this works, living in light of eternity. Live in light of eternity. So for a long time Laurelwood members, this is actually a testimony that I had shared from this stage 14 years ago. But now my kids are all grown up, so if I had one sermon to share, it'd be this one. This is a sermon that is about my testimony of recognizing what's worth living for and recognizing what's worth living for, just how to understand, you know, it just helps me understand God's perspective on this life so much better. And it's a testimony that started back when I was about my kids' age. See? Back when I was a teen, I made a bucket list. Now, raise your hand if you have ever made a bucket list. I don't know if that's a thing nowadays. It looks like no, it's not. But way back then, it was popular for a little while to make a bucket list, basically a list of things that you want to do before you kick the bucket, like before you die. And my list was full of all kinds of super cool things, let me tell you. Just, you know, achievements and like adventures and just a lot of things I wanted to do and be and have an experience. It was very super cool. It was exciting. It was very inspiring to think about. I was very happy with it until I noticed something about that. Not a single thing on that list had anything to do with my Christian faith. And I was like, kind of bothered me a little bit, kind of convicted me a little bit. It was the first time I remember kind of wrestling with that idea of like, what am I living for? I mean, I felt like my bucket list was really great. And yet, as I read the Bible, it just seemed like God had some other kind of bucket list in mind for his people. I mean, look at us here. It is a beautiful day outside, and we are sitting in here, not sleeping in, not going out doing something. In the eyes of the world, we are fools to be wasting our time reading the Bible and praying. We are morons to give our money away and give our time away to help other people instead of taking care of ourselves and having some fun. I mean, what an idiot I am to follow God's rules instead of doing whatever I want. Like seriously, you would just wait until you're married to have sex and then just keep staying with that one person no matter what, like your whole life? That doesn't make any sense. I don't know why everyone's laughing. I mean, that's the plan. Yeah, or does it? Does it make sense? Let me share with you how God connected the dots for me. What I found is that the Christian life not only makes sense to me, in the end, it is really the only thing that makes sense. Let me just share this verse again. Something that jumped out to the from the Bible to me all those years ago. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. The Bible reminds us that my life is a mist that is going to be here for a little while, and then it vanishes. It is a vanishing smoke. It is a... Whoop, did I do something? All right, got to be careful about how I move, because it is a fleeting shadow. It does not endure. My life is like the grass. It's like a flower. It springs up today, and then it withers. It's just a few years. that my life is going to be over, and when it's over, everything is gone. It's like this garbage can over here. I don't know when this garbage can is going to be emptied, but I do know for sure that whatever I put into it, next week, it's going to be gone, and it will never be coming back. I'll never see it again. Everything is temporary. That really hit me hard. As I kept reading the Bible, struggling with this through my 20s, I just started realizing, you see, that how the Bible reveals that every worldly goal that I could live for will come to nothing when I die. You know, what am I going to spend my treasure and my time, my talents on? Just FYI, kids, like, this is an icon that represents a clock. So that's time. See, this is how clocks used to look. Like, they used to be like this, okay? So just FYI, this is a clock. Alrighty. But seriously, like, how do we spend our time? You know, am I going to live for fame, for fortune? Am I going to live for fun or friends or family? Am I going to live for sex or health? That's always like the thing that really gets me. Like, I'm going to live for health. I'm going to be so healthy because, like, that is 100% guaranteed to not work. But really, yeah, think about that for a minute. You know, everybody is working so hard to stay healthy as they die. Okay. How about social causes, right? How about advancement or achievement? I don't know. What I do know, I don't know when my life is going to end, but I do know that in a short while, it will be over, and everything that I have, everything I get, everything I do is going to be gone. God reminds us of this. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases. For they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. As a man came from his mother's womb, so he will depart again, naked as he arrives. He takes nothing for his labor to carry in his hands. This too is a grievous evil. Exactly as a man is born, so he will depart. And what does he gain as he toils for the wind? Moreover, all of his days he eats in darkness with much sorrow and sickness and anger. Wow, that's a real cool verse. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. Wow. So what's the answer on this beautiful sunny day? You know, life is short, play hard. Is that really the best the world can offer us? Literally just like shrug the shoulders and be like, hey, here's 1,000 things you can do to pass the time. And if you're really lucky, you get a cat poster too. Now, the Bible is pointing out this truth about life, but you don't actually have to believe in the Bible to see this, right? The temporary nature of life is readily observable. Like, anyone can know that. You just have to see it. But what you do need the Bible for is to give you a different option, right? And God's word is clear. Oops, sorry. Didn't mean to keep going. There is purpose in life because there is an eternal life that is coming after this temporary one. Yeah, check it out. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Do not be amazed at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. There's two places you can spend your permanent life, right? You can have life with God in heaven, or you can be condemned to a second death in hell. Now, picking where I spend my permanent life, that seems like a pretty good purpose for this temporary life, don't you say? Like, I can't think of a more important purpose to this temporary life than making that decision, making that choice. But wait, there's more. Do you want to know something incredible? God actually has a bucket list for your life. He has thought about it. He has written it down. Check this out. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's got a honey-do list for you. I don't know what's on God's bucket list for you or for me, but just the idea that God himself has a list, a to-do list for your life is epic. Okay, let's see something else about this. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, his workmanship will be evident because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will prove the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as through the flames. There's a decision you make once and for all about whether you will receive God's forgiveness, whether you accept that and be restored into his family. That foundation of Jesus Christ's finished redeeming work can never be taken away. It can never be altered because it's from God. God did it. Okay? But now, for just a small, short period of time, I have this opportunity to build on that foundation. And I can build something that will last, something that God will take notice of, something that God will write down, and something that God will reward me for. That's pretty crazy. There is something I can do on earth that will last forever. It's like a safe. Got to be careful there. Here we go. There's something that I can do that will last forever if I give my life to God. There's things I do for God. If there's things that I follow God in, then I can give that to him and I will get it back forever. And I'll get it back in a way that is forever. It's better than a way that I could ever get it down here. So it's like delayed gratification, right? Y'all know what delayed gratification is? Yeah, see, you work now and then you get paid later. Okay, you save your money now and then you have more money later. FYI, kids, it works that way. Okay? You put in the time now and practice and then you're good in the game later, right? You exercise now and you're healthy later, except then you get old. Okay, stuff like that. But the thing is, we understand delayed gratification. Everyone knows that. The crazy thing is, like, we get this concept and then we miss the ultimate application. Give up your temporary life now. Get an eternal life in heaven with Jesus later. That's a pretty good point, just saying. Now, without God, the best I can do is to just maximize my momentary enjoyment as I throw my time and my effort away, right? But with God, as a believer, I actually have an alternative. Instead, I could give it to God and get it back forever. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So what's worth living for, right? What should I spend my life on? What should I do? Does following God make sense? Now, when I recognize that everything besides following God is just going to be temporary, just a moment, and only the things I do for God are going to last forever, then yeah, that makes sense to me. But what about the crazy stuff? You know what I'm talking about, all that junk in the Bible about like considering trials pure joy and being like considering myself blessed when I'm persecuted and denying myself, taking up my cross and following him. I mean, a cross is horrible. How could God expect something like that? How could that be part of God's game plan? To sacrifice, to suffer. Like, why, God? Why? 1,000 times, like, why? I mean, yeah. Let's look at the middle part of our passage. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I feel pretty good, but I don't like trouble. Do you like trouble? Yeah, no, see, no amens on that one. My troubles don't seem very light and momentary to me. I don't like affliction. I don't like hardships. I don't like frustration. I don't like waiting in line. I surely don't like the pain that we have to deal with in this life, the suffering, the grief, the sadness, death, loss. I don't like that stuff. I don't even like medium salsa, okay? When we go out to Thai food, I say zero spice because I enjoy eating my food without any suffering whatsoever. Let me tell you something, church. For $1 billion, I would eat this entire can of salsa. This is super hot, extremely hot salsa. It's called 100% Pain. This is a real product I bought with real money. It's made in Kansas City. I don't know what people are like down there. But on the back it says, taste the pain. Some people argue that the more pain, the better the flavor. We will let you decide. Oh, thanks a lot. I think some people are stupid. And the fact that they sell a product like this, that is proof. You're not stupid. But would you eat this for $1 billion? Yes. Yeah, there we got some old people that are like, nah, I'm pretty close to heaven right now. I get this sermon. You can keep your $1 billion. That's cool. Young folks are all like, yeah, bring it on. Now, what if I told you the reward is more than $1 billion? That it will last forever, and it was given to you, it will be given to you by God himself. With these, like, gives you a fist bump, and he's like, hey, good job on that one. How about then? What if your other option is to get nothing? And, you know, we all know about life, right? You can't avoid trouble, even if you really try hard. So really, the decision is, like, do I want to go for, like, 30 to 60% pain and get nothing, or do I want to go, like, all in for the eternal reward? Did I mention this is a once-in-eternal-lifetime opportunity? Okay, so we understand this concept, right? We get why athletes work out so hard. No pain, no gain. In fact, I mean, there's already people who are like, yeah, I'm all in on life, except they're doing it to get a crown that will not last, a crown of leaves. And we are running our race for a crown that will last forever. We understand why parents sacrifice so much for their kids. We honor the soldier's suffering, the soldier's sacrifice. That's what our movies are about, right? We have movies about people who are making that sacrifice, who are suffering to achieve something great. We get this concept, but again, crazy how people can understand that and miss the ultimate application. Sacrifice your temporary life right now to win the eternal prize and celebrate with Jesus forever. I get that. That makes sense to me. In fact, it makes so much sense. I wouldn't just be like, yeah, I'll do that. I'd be happy to do it. I'll work with this, you know, this will probably take me about a couple months to get through, but I would do that. Sign me up. Fortunately, just metaphorical. Unfortunately, it's real in terms of something other than salsa. I don't know what it's going to be, but Jesus does have something to say about it. Oops, if I can get to the next slide. Oh, help me out here, Michael. Thank you. Because Jesus does have something to say. He says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? I don't know, what good would it be? Now, I'm an accountant, so give me a minute here to do some math. How much is the whole world worth? Okay, so let's take all countries' gross national product, estimated between $18 to $28 trillion annually, and we'll add in the estimated value of the Earth's ecosystem, the whole thing. That's estimated, you know, $16 to $54 trillion annually. And then you got to multiply it by the number of years you expect to be alive. So I'll just say 50 more years for myself to be very generous. And then we'll make a very simple estimate here, the average amount each year, and we get $2.9 quadrillion. Wow, that's a lot. But you know what's more than that? More than that? Infinity! Infinity! Okay, so let's divide that by the years you're going to be dead so that you can understand this value in light of eternity. So if I assume I'm like, I'm going to try to be on Earth for 90 years, hopefully, how many years am I going to be dead? Forever. I'm a CPA. I can't count that high, okay? So now, when we divide all that value of the world by the number of years that I won't have it, it's pretty much nothing. What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Now, I hear you, Kenji. You can't actually do this kind of math with algebra because you can't actually like multiply or divide by infinity. I know. But that is the calculus of heaven. Some people got it. Okay, when you weigh, you know, that's how you do it, is you count the world in light of eternity by counting the things of this world as approaching zero. Okay? They're approaching zero because you're dividing it by essentially infinity. And you can compare that, you can weigh that against even the smallest fruit of the Spirit that you produce that will be, that you will multiply that by the number of years that you get God's smile, right? And when you do that, then you can understand how the things of this world are nothing in compared, that they're far beyond comparison is what you give to God. Now, we understand our troubles are not actually zero. We feel these things. They are something. But what we need to do is if we can see with God's eyes, we can recognize that they should be counted as essentially zero. And that's the only way that we can make the right calculation and get to the right answer. So does God's bucket list, does it still make sense even if there is some suffering, even if there's sacrifice involved? Yeah, on the scale of forever, the eternal weight of glory is just far beyond comparison. So at Easter time, Pastor Eric had left us with a question. How would life be different if you knew you were going to live forever? If you had that perspective, if you had God's perspective, that eternal perspective, you know, could you have peace in the middle of chaos? In crisis? Could you have joy even if your life was ruined? Could you love like crazy even if you got nothing back in return? Like if you fixed your eyes on Jesus, could you forgive even if you got really wronged, you really hurt? Jesus didn't want to suffer and die. If you remember, he was praying all night right before the cross. He was praying and he was sweating like drops of blood. He was so stressed out about the idea of going to the cross. Like, how could Jesus do that? How could he look at that and say, yeah, I'm going to keep going, when he knew how horrible the suffering was going to be? Let's hear from him. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for doing that. God, help me. Help me have that perspective to see with your eyes so that I will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's look at the beginning of our passage. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Let me tell you, the Bible's descriptions of joy and endurance, they are really hard to see when my eyes are fixed on the things of this world. Okay, when I'm looking for my comfort, for my strength, for my joy in temporary things, in luxury, you know, in my screen time. I got lots of games that I'm playing. I want to have my good job. I want to have a good family and people around me. You know, I want to get a vacation. And it's just hard to see what God has in store for me. Okay? It's when I'm looking at my circumstances, it's just hard to produce those fruits of the Spirit. I just don't have that perspective on life. I can't see it because my eyes are fixed on my circumstances and I see how I am wasting away every day. I see my situations. And you know what? I am wasting away every day because now I'm over 40, so it's really hitting me. Really, the question is, what do I love? It's a matter of the heart, right? Where my heart is at, that's where I'm pursuing. Where my mind is at, what are my eyes fixated on? Okay, Jesus has some good advice for us. In Matthew, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures on heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I mean, if I'm putting my treasure, if I treasure the things of this world, then that's where my heart will be pursuing. That's where my mind is going to be thinking about. That's what my eyes are going to be fixated on. That's why Jesus is calling me to fix my eyes on him, on heaven, on what's ahead. If I can treasure my God, if I can love my Savior, if I can fix my eyes on him, I'm going to have that perspective on life and the things that I go through in life. Kind of crazy here. We're supposed to fix our eyes on something that's unseen. Did you catch that in the passage? I'm supposed to be looking at something I can't see. That's hard. I know you know it. That is the challenge of our faith. But it is helpful then to recognize and remember that everything besides that is temporary. And I can see it. I can see that this life is temporary, that this is not where it's at. I know that. Bible says it this way. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of life, the eyes, the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. Yeah, I'm tired. I get tired. I get tempted to give up and give in. But I've stepped into the light, right? And now I can't stop knowing that this is my choice, you know? I can't stop seeing that. I fail, I struggle every day, but I have to keep coming back to Jesus because I know that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. And everything besides that is going to be observably, objectively garbage. Am I really going to just throw my life away on something that I could get in its fullness forever? I try not to. Fixing my eyes on eternity, that's what keeps me from losing heart. If I can fix my eyes and keep them on Jesus, then I will remember each day what's worth living for, and I can have that perspective on life. Not only does the Christian life make sense to me, in the end, it's the only thing that will make sense. Okay, let me wrap it up here. We've got an eternal life to live for, with eternal fun, eternal friends, eternal adventure, eternal rest, eternal comfort, given by an eternal relationship with the everlasting God himself. And that's why Jesus tells us, hey, to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. So that's the question for us today. What are we living for? What is our hearts pursuing? Where are we fixing our eyes? I just want to encourage you all, challenge you, take some time with God today. Talk to him about what you're living for, what's on your bucket list, and ask him. I challenge you to ask him, hey, God, what's on your list for me? What do you want me to do? And what might I have to give up in order to go and get that thing, get that work done? I don't know what God is going to ask you to do. I don't know what God is going to ask you to give up in order to get that work done, what you'll have to sacrifice, but I can say don't lose heart, because whatever light and momentary stuff it is, it will be achieving for you an eternal glory that far outweighs it all. Okay, so I'm going to give you your time to talk with God. So as the worship team comes back on stage, just ask you to bow your heads with me and observe a time of silence for a minute for prayer.